Should have done the Smosh shut up, didn't I? Anyway, intro time.
James! Welcome to the Sunday Vivi Marathon!
Now I wish you had done the Smosh thing, yeah. Actually.
Oh, I gave up. I was like, oh no, I could do that like with the whole thing. Oh man. I'm Max.
I'm Chris.
I'm Darcy.
Yeah!
But once we say our own names... So it's been weeks since we've actually ever said our names.
It's been weeks since anyone said our names.
Yeah.
Now we reaffirm them once again. We are ourselves because we've become...
Evolved.
You know, back to life.
Mm.
In the form of a podcast we like to call the Sunday Movie Marathon. So in the spirit of this hallowed holiday...
Nice.
Pop us in your ears, and just watch the King's Coronation. And you don't have to put the sound on there, just listen to us, and we're going to review some movies for you today.
I will just pretend to narrate over the coronation.
Don't think you're going to miss much, to be honest.
What, in the coronation?
Nah. Just going to stand there, get some jewels.
Apparently they
and
do
waste
part-
our taxpayers' money.
They do part of it off camera anyway, so like all the good bits are done off camera. Like bits with like oils
good,
and yeah.
They miss out the fucking juicy bits. They take him into a room, strip him naked, and there's just like a bunch of people in a circle around him, throwing oils and shit at him, and they're all on fire.
He has to carry an apple in his butt cheeks from one side of the room to the other.
You get that if you pay for a premium, BBC Premium.
BBC
on BBC, right?
I wouldn't even be surprised if BBC Premium was a thing.
Yeah, it's called BritBox.
Oh, yeah. BritBox. How absolutely disgusting.
Woo! Gone. Mm. What's his name?
I think BBC is just BBC Premium because you have to pay a license fee to watch it.
Yeah.
Do you?
We all do that. We all do that every year. Every year we pay for the BBC.
I was going to say, you're talking about TV license. We actually talking about...
We all have our TV licenses, so we were able to watch like iPlayer and that, and stream. Or, you know, watch the King's speech? Coronation. He'll probably give a speech.
He might
as well.
Do.
He'll be there.
Yeah. Or we just watched a movie instead.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't it be great if...
It was actually Colin Firth
was the
instead of
King,
the other guy.
I had to think about that for a second. I only said Hugh Grant because they're both in that Bridget Jones movie, and I tend to think about them together as like a, I don't know, like a duo almost. Get them confused.
Yeah, they'll probably be streaming. I got to stop saying streaming. They'll probably be running Bridget Jones Diary on like ITV.
Yeah, probably. It seems quite fitting, doesn't it?
So yeah, whatever you want to do, just pop this podcast on, listen to us as... We talk over Bridget Jones's Diary or King's Coronation.
I think both of them would be quite fitting, like narration-wise.
It is happening on Sunday, right?
No, it's next Saturday.
What?
It's the 6th.
Yeah, the Saturday. Day of your housewarming party.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Now we've got to get cupcakes of like the King's like 30.
Just pictures of the King all over their flat.
Oh, so I just completely fucked that up then, haven't I?
A little bit.
It's next week. It's not this week.
No.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of the podcast is you can play it again. So, well, you know, you might want to save up. Oh, I'll do this over the
Coronation. Maybe listen to 2 episodes and it will take up the whole of the coronation day.
You're going to need a few more episodes than that, my friend.
I know, it's probably going to be
take
on
up all that.
For like a whole weekend.
People are really looking forward to it.
I mean,
I thought it was this week because I walked here through town. And I saw a bunch of Union Jack flags.
Now, people were just getting in there early. I had to do a bunch of marketing today that was pretty much based on the coronation, so it's been ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, it was the same with the Jubilee.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I guess what people are just excited because they've never seen a coronation in their lifetime, which is fair enough because about 80% of the population probably haven't. But
I feel like
they're all going to see at least one or two more in the rest of their lifetime.
Yeah, but this one's the first one. That makes it more exciting.
Is it exciting?
No.
Because I feel like when you've seen one, you've seen them all. When you've seen the Jubilee or you've seen a royal wedding, you've seen everything that they could do because it's all the same.
What even happens at the Jubilee? I've never watched a Jubilee in my life. Is it just like a
parade?
They
just celebrate. It's basically a parade. They celebrate
around.
The person being there for however long they were there.
Isn't it? I don't know. I really
spit on the homeless people.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Wouldn't even surprise me.
We could have built, you know,
They burn millions of pounds in front of homeless people.
Basically. That's just basically is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They could build like accommodation for these people instead of like, well, the queen needed her crown, so
such
she needed a few more jewels.
Oh, such a waste of taxpayers' money, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really frustrated about it. It keeps me up at night thinking about all the all my hard-earned taxpayers' money going towards the coronation.
Whereas
street.
I laugh because I got all of mine back and then some. I don't know how that's even possible, but that was a thing that happened at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they fucked me for like a year. I was paying like 40% tax and they were like, you make nowhere near enough to pay 40% tax. And I was like, that's what I've been trying to tell you for ages. And I got all of it back.
They'll take you for everything you're worth.
Yeah, I know.
Tax man, we're on to you.
Mm.
This whole podcast is a front for it. We're secretly bringing down the tax man. We're coming through the medium of podcasting.
Oh, the subliminal
talking about
messaging.
Movies and various movies. Mm.
Play this backwards.
Yeah. Then you'll know. Mm. Then you'll know. You'll know. So Chris watched a movie, but he's not going to talk about it because I told him not to. I watched a movie that I'm going to talk about that I wanted to talk about.
I'll talk about my one next week when we've got a bit more time.
We've got a time crunch here.
Say next week, next episode.
Mm. I might watch it in between that time. Probably not.
No, you won't, because you said you'd watch the movie that I watched the week before last, and you were like, yeah, we'll do that for the next episode, and I was like, okay. I'll hold off on my review until 2 weeks from now, and we can all talk about it.
Okay. I mean, if I knew in the beginning that we wouldn't have seen it in the cinema at all, when Chris had fucked off to see Jack Garrett, I could have gone and seen it.
But here that's all in the past. And this is not a podcast of what ifs. It's a podcast of, what? Now,
yeah,
Infinity Pool by Brandon Cronenberg. He did Possessor, which I didn't see.
I didn't like it.
Chris didn't like it. So he's definitely gonna think about some things when he watches this movie, if he ever does.
I've heard this one's a lot better from like a lot of people who didn't like Possessor, to be fair.
Yeah, it is.
That's promising, I guess.
I know I haven't seen Possessor, but it is. It's a good movie. It's really good. I'm going to do the noble thing here and not spoil it at all. Don't know how much you know about the movie.
Not a lot. It seems very
we saw the trailer and that's about it.
Right. Sort of know like plot points or...
I guess. I don't remember it, but...
I feel like I did see a trailer for it, but I don't know if like... I must have forgotten it because there were things in this movie that were completely... like, whoa, what the fuck? What is happening here? It's a really weird movie, but I quite like that about it. It's definitely not for everyone because it's going for quite like weird existential stuff. It's definitely not a movie with like a solid plot narrative that you have to follow. It's like definitely one that's like highly metaphorical and you're supposed to like look into it. I feel like I'm doing like a terrible thing recently where I'm watching movies and I'm like, that's about what it's about. And then I'm like, not looking into it at all. I'm like, yeah, Suspiria. Suspiria is about like, they go to a, like, it's what it's like to be at a dance school. Infinity Pool. Infinity Pool's about what it's like to like go on holiday and it's really fucked up to like be in a foreign country and you don't know about anything, but you feel like you can do whatever you want because you're in a different sort of land and consequences don't matter. I think that's sort of what it was about. And I think it's also about, like they go to this resort. I'm going to just minor plot point. And they go to this resort and it's like a really nice holiday resort in this really fucking horrendous country. There's like crime is rife and you go out, there's like iron gates and barbed wire around this resort. And if they go outside of the resort, they're like, you just don't go outside the resort because these people in this country are fucked up and they'll probably kill you. So they have to like stay in this resort. But they do go outside the resort. And it's all about like the consequences of what that entails. I forget where I was going. Anyway, you got the sort of what this movie is like as well. It's like you just forget what the fuck is happening. And, like just a bunch of shit happens. You're like, what the hell? This is really interpretable, man. Who you got in it? Mia Goth, who we talked about last episode. Fucking fantastic.
And we'll
as
talk
always.
About later.
Yeah, we'll talk about later. And Oh, what's his face? Alexander?
The Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Him, the Northman. Yeah. He's great.
He's in Succession as well. He plays a massive cunt in that show.
Yeah, he does. He's a little wanker. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's quite thrilling, though.
He's kind of a wanker in this as well.
Oh. He's just got form.
I guess.
Stereo.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. I love watching him like act like an animal, which is as far as I'll go with spoilers. As long as a spoiler is, I'll get. He's actually just like acting like in The Northman or like,
I was
like
just about to say The Northman, right?
Like a fucking, like a weird sort of dog creature, I don't know. What the fuck was happening? A new possessor was like probably really weird. Like it looked weird. So I was going into this thing like, it's probably going to be a weird one. I think these people are only doing like weird shit. Like Mia Goth is only doing weird shit. Alexander Skarsgård is only doing weird shit.
I think if you see a name like that, you'll instantly go, oh, right, it's going to be one of those.
Until Mia Goth is in that MCU thing she's apparently going to be in. She's going to be in something in the MCU. Don't know what.
Yeah. The Mighty Fallway.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently so.
She's been called in for jury service.
Yeah.
That's basically what the MCU is now.
That is true. Every actor must go to the MCU and do their part.
Today, Andy Samberg's going to be in something.
Oh, God.
I actually hate Andy Samberg.
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
aren't they?
I know.
Yeah. All these fucking, just like, are they rich? Put them in. That's what the Infinity Pool is sort of about as well. It's like, what? Like the rich, I think it was all like about like class systems and like classism.
Triangle
and
sadness, that's what it seems kind of
like.
Thing.
Yeah, what sort of rich people can essentially get away with doing.
Mm.
And like they use this structure of like a foreign country. You don't really, I think it's like a fictional foreign country. It doesn't seem like a real place. But like what you could get up to if you had just like no inhibitions and you had all the money in the world to do whatever you wanted, how far could you stretch that? And what would be the consequences really? And if there were no consequences, how far would you push that before you essentially decided that it was way too much for you? Which is sort of the journey that Alexander Skarsgård's character goes on, where he's like forced along by Mia Goth's character, who's like a big fan of his character, and they like go through this, and he's like pushing away his girlfriend, who's like what's happening here is fucked up, and can't you see what they're doing and what you're doing is like really weird. He's like, no, and he's like slowly getting indoctrinated into their sort of like rich people cult.
That sounds very culty.
Yeah, it is pretty culty. Yeah, anyway, I think that's probably as much as I can say about it without spoiling it. It looks really nice, and like the music is very good, I remember, and just like everybody's like on form sort of for as weird as the movie is. You're like, yeah, these are good performances, though. These are really good performances. And the direction, as I haven't seen Possessor, I don't know if that was, like, super well-directed or whatever. Was it?
Yeah, it's actually pretty well-directed. My problems with that just come down to the script. I think it's quite derivative.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the script was very good, like, well-handled. I don't think it's, like, amazing. I think there's, like, a lot that's, like, quite stupid about it. But because it's so, like, surreal and weird, it kind of lends itself to the more stupid aspects of it without making it feel like you're taken out of it. There are like weird dream sequences that go on and you're like, oh, I guess this has happened. Good movie. I thought I won't drone on about it. I just had a good time with Infinity Pool by Brandon Cronenberg. Go see it. I don't think you can anymore.
It'll come back.
Yeah, it'll come back. Get on the DVD. I get your DVDs. Excited to see what the guy does next. He's got one from me. Thanks, Brandon. I'll give it a rating. Fuck it. 7 out of 10. This is a good one. 7 Brandons out of 10.
Yeah. Big up, Brandon.
Go on, Brandon. You got it. You're in the game, baby. I like seeing movies like that in the cinema as well, because it's like really weird and you wouldn't think that like mainstream cinemas would take a chance on like these weird, because there weren't a lot of people in this screening.
No,
I didn't see many advertisements for it, and I don't think they'd advertise it on like billboards, you know, not around here anyway.
No, probably not.
No, I didn't see a lot about it. Well,
you got to sort of know about it.
Yeah, I saw
a few trailers in the cinema.
Yeah, I saw it on like YouTube a couple of times, but a lot of people have like ad blockers as well and stuff, so they probably didn't see it.
letterboxed wieners. We know all about it.
That is true. Even me, and I check the letterbox like once a week at this point.
Yeah. I know you do.
A lot.
It upsets me.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at it, actually. It
upsets me. You got like serialized that app, but you told me to get it, and I got it for like TV. You are, I'm going to follow you, but you didn't. Then you don't even do anything on it. That upsets me a great deal.
There I am, logging every episode of Cheers I'm watching, and Darcy's doing nothing.
I haven't logged a single episode of anything.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. It's just another fucking thing to keep track of, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm really bad at that. Yeah. You know,
you want to be like watching fucking The Simpsons just for mind-numbing entertainment.
Yeah, I don't.
You're like, oh, I guess I'll go. I've got to log this.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't log that.
Rate this episode out of 10 or whatever.
I think I'm just going to stick to rating seasons.
Mm. Yeah, I find it fun. I use it all the time.
Yeah. Just, I like going on there and seeing what's new. But then people probably are like, they wouldn't want to follow me because they'd be like, oh, she's been inactive for about 6 years. And it's just, the truth is I'm just like stalking everybody else and seeing what they're watching. Like I'm on there right now and seeing that Max has logged an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I don't even know what episode this is. Like, it's no good for them just putting
It's not good.
Putting their like a little picture up and being like, is this the one where he becomes
Krusty's
like I don't know, the one
where he becomes Krusty's assistant. That's the last
one.
And
he says, I didn't do it.
I didn't do it, yeah. Say the line, Bart.
Classic
meme. Yeah. Good one. Cool.
Speaking of classics,
we watched some movies by a certain director called Dario Argento, the man, the myth, the legend, controversial figure.
And a designer, apparently.
And designer. Designer of the Three Mothers trilogy.
Star of Gaspar Noé's Vortex.
Star of, is he?
Yeah.
Shit.
Him and his wife.
Oh, man.
Who's also
Dario Argento and Gaspar Noé's wife?
No, Dario Argento's wife. He's also in Three Mothers.
Oh, yeah. Which I found out later
plays
on.
Plays the ghost lady.
Gah.
The mum.
Oh.
Yeah.
More on that in a bit.
Which I also did when Chris told me, I went, oh.
Three Mothers trilogy, consisting of Suspiria from 1977, mm-hmm. Inferno from 1980, and The Mother of Tears, The Third Mother from 2007.
Is that what's actually called? Did I?
That's what was on the title card on the movie, yeah. Yeah, so take it away, Chris. You introduce the first one, as you are so wont to do.
Yeah, so the first one is Suspiria from 1977. The movie stars a young lady who travels, I think, to Germany.
I thought you were going to say her name then. Stars, yeah,
Jennifer
a young lady.
Harper,
a young lady.
It?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the actress.
Yeah, there we go.
Character has a name as well.
That's the only thing I remember from watching it. Susie
Banyan.
It? Yeah.
I
read the little title card at the beginning and then I was too busy doing other shit.
Either way.
Sorry, we completely derailed you.
She goes to a dance school in Germany. Some crazy shit's going down at this dance school.
Dancing.
Yeah. There's a lot of dancing.
Can't believe.
Things aren't as they seem. There's like a lot of weird stuff going on, like maggots appearing on the ceiling and...
And murder.
Murder and... creepy old women with children who like shine some crystal at them.
Ah.
Yeah, some weird like...
Some crazy things are going down. She gets ill and then she tries to work out what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes up with like this thing at the beginning, which I read all of. It was like, it was filmed. I'm just going to reel through this because I actually wrote it down and it'd be stupid of me not to say it. It was filmed on 35mm Eastman... camera negative stock.
Yeah.
I feel like I should know what that is.
Yeah, that was at the beginning of my Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's a type of
I know
type
the,
of film,
the Eastman camera is it's a film camera. Negative stock. I really should do more research into this kind of thing. Master prints for theatrical presentation were struck using Technicolor dye transfer process, which you can fucking tell. Suspiria was the last feature film to be made in the regular dye transfer production chain. All prints made after the initial release were crafted using the Eastman process, which has affected the intended look of the film. So we're sort of watching what the film was because they've sort of restored it.
Yeah.
There's parts that they couldn't do, apparently. But yeah, I thought it's, in terms of like the visuals, it's probably like the staple movie that you're like, that's how you use color.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like so vibrant and like really bright.
It is very bright.
Something you'd equate to a horror movie. But it lends itself to the film in a really nice way, because it does make it stand out like that. And like, I can't really think of any other movies before this, or really even after this, in this genre especially, that have used colour in that way to like sort of strike that. It does kind of strike a fear into you, I think. It uses it in quite a weird, interesting way that sort of takes you out of reality a bit, and it's sort of taken the characters out of reality ever so slightly. Mm. It works in like just like stuff that happens to Susie, where she's like, all right, well, that was a bit weird, but it's not so weird that you'd like make a comment on it. And I was like, what if this happened to me? I just wouldn't say anything about it. Like, just like people will remark on something. So like run into someone in a corridor and they'll be like, yo. And you'll be like, okay. See?
Yeah,
and you just like sort of carry that with you, and you'll be like, okay, it was pretty weird. But that's something that I wouldn't really comment on, but it would like stay with me
that
forever.
That doesn't feel very out of the normal though, does it, really?
No.
Because people do stupid shit all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, yeah, stuff like bumping into people in the corridor, like offered, you know?
Shoes. She was like, I need to borrow some shoes. And some girl was like, oh, here, you can use my shoes. You could buy them if you want.
Okay.
She was like, no, that's all right. I don't want to buy them. And she's like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I'd be like, okay, what? Okay. That's happened to me in like Chinese restaurants or something.
People try and sell you shoes.
Stuff like that, yeah. Or like you'll go to like a foreign country, or like people, you know, the people who like walk up to you with like bracelets on a ring.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
And
Italy.
You feel like a dick when you say, I don't want a bracelet.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. I thought you meant someone was going to offer you a all you can eat buffet, but you didn't want or eat any of the all you can eat buffet.
Yeah, that was the big one. Yeah. When I got charged for an all you can eat buffet because I was sitting next to people who were eating an all you can eat buffet.
And apparently,
I didn't eat.
They don't have cameras to check that you didn't eat anything.
Like, I didn't. I was like, I didn't order an all you can eat. And they were like, but you were sat with your friends and they had the all you can eat buffet. We gave you five all you can eat buffets. It was like, yeah, I didn't eat any of that though. And they were like, well, we didn't know that. I was like, what? What do you mean? So I ended up paying.
Call you a liar.
£30 for two drinks.
I would blacklist that place like so quickly.
Yep.
Never go again. But yeah, it's just stuff like that, isn't it? It's just stuff like that.
That's sort of what this is like. I love stuff like that.
Paying for stuff you don't even ask for.
Yeah. I hate it in real life, but when it's in movies and you're like, that's what it's like, man. It's like, yeah, it's really good stuff.
Fun to be relatable, but you also don't want it to happen, so you don't want it to be relatable.
I didn't like this movie when I first saw it. I saw it a couple of years ago. I think I must have torrented it. But I really didn't like it. Mm. I thought it was really boring. But this time, well, actually, it's quite good.
Yeah.
It's a really quite a good movie, which is, you know, it's the best one in this trilogy, I think. It does peak at the top there, but par for the course with these sorts of things, I think. Yeah, I just really had a good time with it. It strikes that balance between like the fun of it, like and the briefness of it. It's only an hour and 40 or something. Maybe like towards the end, I thought, all right, well, they could have done like maybe a bit more with that, because it just sort of ends.
Yeah.
But the journey to that is quite satisfying and like weird. You get a sense of like the world that they're in, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen it a few times now and I always have a really good time with it. I think it's just like a really crazy, weird movie.
Mm.
It reminds me a little bit of David Lynch and how it just feels very, very like dreamlike.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the genres that they put this film under.
Like cerebral.
It had like, you know, like it always comes up like the three genres that they put it under. And dreamlike genres. Is the last one. And I was staring at it for ages.
Yeah, on Prime.
Yeah, on Prime, sorry.
Yeah, it's like even like in the way that like characters talk to each other. That's so like jilted and
you're odd. Like no one talks like that. It's just not natural, is it?
Good.
Yeah, I think it is good.
I don't want to see things that happen in real life. Otherwise, I just do real life.
Yeah, no, I mean that's fair enough. Because why not? If you've got a movie, may as well exploit the non-realism of a movie, right?
I love sort of like the weird, horrifying introductions with like the people who are killed as well.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
It's like really fucked up. The music is going fucking insane. There's like a girl who gets like a glass panel that goes straight through her face, cuts her face in half.
That was cool.
What the fuck?
That girl with like the pins in her eyes, that was cool too.
Yeah.
Person who falls into the room of barbed wire. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, I think they're all pretty creative, to be honest.
I think one of my favourite like scenes in terms of like the horror stuff is the scene with the like blind man and his dog, where he's like standing there and like the music's going crazy and you think someone's gonna like come after him, and then suddenly out of nowhere his dog just turns on him and kills him. It's like just crazy, unexpected.
You can't trust animals.
But it wasn't.
That's the moral here.
That's not the moral. The moral is look out for witches.
Yeah,
because they were witches, man.
Oh, they
turned
fuck
the
you.
Dog against him.
Yeah,
of course.
There's not like, I'll talk about it a bit more in the remake discussion, but there's not loads of movies that do like portray witches and make them like just kind of weird or like off kilter a bit, which is really what I would want from it. I don't really want like the classic kind of witch stuff. You want like an inherent sort of evil with it if you're going to portray it in a horror movie or something like this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very good.
Yeah, because even when
they don't really show the witch making the dog do its little thing where it kills the guy. You sort of see like the camera POV like whoosh, whoosh, sort of swoop over him. You're like, whoa, that was awesome. What the hell? And he's like standing there in the middle of this sort of square where nobody's there. And you're like, oh man, she flew over him or something, or like something flew over him.
Yeah.
And the dog goes, ah, fucking crazy. Kills the guy. I was like, no, that was his best friend.
I love that it's really obvious that the dog's like just eating something.
Yeah.
Well, there's like no aggression to the dog at all. He's just like casually eating something. And then it like cuts to like close up and like the dog's going crazy, like ripping his neck open. It just cuts back to his body, just like
just a little eating puppet like a bit there. Of chicken
or like got clamped around his neck. So good. I love it. I said before to Darcy that I wrote CBeebies in my notes and I've just seen that again. I thought like the sets were really great. A lot of them, I was like, this is like a lot of them like CBB show sets.
Oh, what, like out of like those, you know, when kids go on those? Yeah, okay,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like Raven or something.
Yeah, or like the Jungle One or whatever. Yeah,
Jungle Run.
So, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. What is a Dance Academy? That looked amazing. And like the exterior was like blood red. Like
yeah, it's so cool.
And like the rain coming down in the first act. Really, oh, it's so nice. So nice to look at. All time. There's never like a bad shot in this movie, I don't think.
There's so many like shots that are just like etched into my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I even think like with as weak as this trilogy gets, it's still like directed by Dario Argento, and he does have kind of a way with using sets like that.
You can tell. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
In all three of them, you could go, oh yeah, that's definitely the same gazer.
No, I don't know about that.
No, I don't know all three of them.
I don't know. I think it's quite obvious, but it's also like, the further they go on, like the weaker it appears. But I don't know. I think there's a certain flair to it, or at least there's sort of some sort of character. But I don't know if that's because these are supposedly like integrated somehow. So maybe that's why it seems obvious. I'm doing quotes here that people can't see me doing. If that makes sense. Like, if I'm looking at it as a trilogy, then of course I'm going to be like, yeah, these are all the same person, but I don't know.
Sort of. It's not a consistent tone throughout the trilogy.
No.
Technically.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If I can say that.
Don't know what you mean.
Sometimes I thought like the ADR was very noticeable when they use ADR.
Yeah.
The what?
Well, there's... It's like classic Italian filmmaking where they didn't record audio on set, so it's all dubbed.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's really weird that you mentioned that, because I was watching this, and I don't know whether it was meant to... It is in English, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But it just looked like as if it was in a different language originally and then someone dubbed on top of it. But now that you guys have said that, it makes so much more sense.
They used to like get actors from loads of different countries because it was cheaper than having all Italian actors, I think. Mm-hmm. So you'd get like, they'd all like speak in their native tongue. So it would just be dubbed for whatever country it's shown in.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So yeah, you'll get people who are very obviously not speaking English, and then other people who it looks fine because they are speaking English.
Yeah, it just looked really weird because I was kind of like looking up and down like every now and again and being like, that person looks like they've just spoken the longest sentence in the world and they've only said like 3 words.
Yeah. How was it for you guys, like the sound mixing? Because when I watched it, it was very much like I had to keep turning it up and turning it down. If a character was speaking, I had to turn it up. Music was playing it to turn it down.
I had to turn it up quite a lot because I was like, are they even speaking? Like, it just sounded like they were mumbling, but I think it might have just...
I switched to headphones halfway through. I just couldn't take it.
That actually would have been a lot more sensible. I was only like the distance between the TV and the sofa and I still couldn't bloody hear it. And I didn't even bother putting subtitles on because I'm stupid.
But yeah, it was quite painful. No, that was annoying. Didn't have subtitles.
It was quite painful.
I did. But I watched it on Blu-ray. So there we go.
I didn't. I was stupid because Chris put it on the countertop and I was like, oh yeah, I need to watch that movie. And then I went, all the effort of putting the DVD in the bloody player and I've got to set up the controller. I was like, I can't be asked to get on Prime.
I'll just let Bezos win this one.
Yeah, Bezos did win. He knows I'm lazy.
Do they use real maggots in the maggot scene?
They must have.
It looks
have.
Like it.
Yeah. They must have.
Surely. It feels they were all wriggling.
Yeah.
They didn't fucking animate.
I don't know why they wouldn't, to be honest.
They didn't animate them. They looked too real from the 70s.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they would use fake ones.
They had like little animatronic maggots.
Yeah, millions of them. It just doesn't make sense.
I really loved the score to the movie, composed by Goblin.
Oh, yeah, that made me laugh when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's cool.
It is good.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. I think their like theme can be a bit repetitive because they do just kind of like play that same theme over and over
that's
and over again.
That's how it
again,
kind of felt throughout the whole really three like movies, it. Though, to be honest. I feel like there's a certain, I can't explain what kind of type of music this is. But
it's very
like,
synthy kind
yeah,
of prog
it's like,
rock.
It's like someone just like slammed a synth and then like maxed it up to like volume 1,000. That's what it felt like half the time. And I just felt like that was like all the all the films had that kind of. I actually thought it was kind of annoying to be honest.
This one was the most egregious for it, but only because of that mix. I like the music a lot. I just if it had been mixed a bit lower,
maybe I just found it too obnoxious. I don't know
if that's like a consequence of like a remaster or whatever or a remix.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna hold it against him.
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows.
We just don't know.
I'm sure he didn't edit the movie, so I can't really blame him.
No. I'm blaming for other stuff. Not that. What was up with that freaky little boy? Why was he just there?
Just a freaky little boy.
He was just there. Like, what the hell? He was like in school clothes the whole time. I was like, don't you have to go to school? But he never was.
No. Which boys don't go to school?
Children are creepy.
I think that's like
he was.
That is a thing, man. Children are creepy. Especially in horror movies. They're always the worst.
Do love a creepy child in a horror movie.
But he didn't do anything. He was just sort of
there. That's what makes it creepy, man.
He sort of walked around a bit.
He was just chilling.
He was like that guy from Glass Onion.
Just does nothing.
Yeah. I think I probably, if I had to change anything about the movie, I probably would have maybe have done a bit more in terms of like what, how they show or how they portrayed like the witch's stuff, because it does sort of like right at the end what I mentioned earlier, it sort of comes out of nowhere, like how full on they go with it right at the end. And so he's like, oh my god, they're witches. And they were like, to their fucking, you know, the mother Suspirium, they were like, it was like Sharp One Lava Girl, Mr. Electric, kill him.
I was like,
wait, what? and then she was like, you can't kill me because I'm Susie. And then she like throws a match on something and then she runs away and it all explodes. And that's how they're defeated.
Yeah.
And she just walks away. It's like, okay.
Visceral screams for like I was literally just doing work, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't have the remote anywhere near me, so I didn't turn it off. And for like a solid 5 minutes, all you hear is like sounds of like fire and just people going, ah! And yeah. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I like
that as like an ending in a type of way.
Yeah, it was quite cool.
I just
cool.
wish they'd have done a bit more with it, or inked it out a bit, or like had some sort of dialogue.
It did end very quickly.
Her and the witches, Susie and the witches, because she didn't talk to them. Shit, they're witches. And just like threw like a Molotov and got the fuck out of there.
And
like,
okay, it makes sense. Yeah.
It makes sense, but also not like, it doesn't make narrative sense, I don't think.
I just thought it was quite sad because you spent all this time watching a movie and then it's like, oh, okay.
Where does she go from here? She didn't. She
don't.
America.
She just goes. She just runs.
Now she's in Germany and she has nowhere to sleep.
Yeah.
No,
she
wow.
just goes. Yeah.
Just what happens.
Yeah.
Just sleep on the streets of Germany, I guess.
Slumming it in gym. Mm.
I think the stuff I don't really like is when the film kind of like comes to a grinding halt to kind of explore witches.
Yeah,
there's like this 10-minute sequence where she's talking to this guy and it just completely kills the pace of the movie and it's so dull.
But I don't know why they kept that. I see. It just seems a bit odd.
Yeah, it brings it to a halt, but it also stops it being interesting and scary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if
like
it was scary before.
The thing is, I guess in a way, like maybe you did need to have this kind of thing that's like, oh yeah, and they're witches, but you could have just
said
they're witches and that's it, you don't have to drag
she, like,
it out
stabbed that
but...
one ghost witch who was like doing the invisibility spell,
it's
like one step away from her like just stabbing her and going, I guess crime doesn't pay, and then just walking away. It's like, she might as well have done that. Why not? But I gotta love like the seat that I like all like the set stuff that they do and like all the visual effect, like the walls tearing as like the witches burn.
Yeah, it's kind
the walls
of cool.
just tearing themselves and shit like that. I love all that. It was really great. And it works with the sets as well. But yeah, it's just narratively a bit fumbling and thought.
Yeah, I think you could probably cut a good 10-15 minutes out. I think it would have probably been a lot better, a lot creepier.
Yeah. Which is weird considering the remake, but we'll get on to that.
Yeah, it's like almost an hour longer.
Yeah, geez, yeah. Oh, God. Nice.
Yeah.
We got anything more to say on Suspiria?
No.
No?
Cool.
Do it.
Let's rate it then.
Do it. At what?
What are we rating this one at, Chris?
Maggots.
I like maggots. Good one.
Yeah, this is a great movie. Like I said, I've seen it quite a few times now. Just, like, I think, a horror classic. You could tell it's quite influential. Although there's bits I don't love about it, I still always have a good time with it, and I'll definitely watch it many more times to come. Give it 8 maggots out of 10.
Very surprised to have had a good time with it this time. This time was a time where I thought, yeah, okay, this was good. Thanks, Dario, at least for this one.
Yeah, good point.
It's I probably would watch it again, honestly. I probably would get the Blu-ray or something because it's really, really good looking. You would hope the Blu-ray did something with the mixing, but it probably won't.
I think it might have done, but I can't really remember.
The one task I had and didn't succeed.
Yeah, nice stuff, good one, and a classic, probably for a reason. Like all the witch stuff. I love that kind of thing.
It's a good theme,
that kind of
I think.
That theme in movies where it's just like they do shit with magic stuff.
Mm.
It's so up my alley.
The occult,
yeah.
Mm.
Seven. Maggots. Out of 10. Seven of those.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I was going to say something and then it's just all just completely left
just
my mind.
Just didn't come out.
No, I was too busy trying to remind Max about maggots, so now it's all just gone. I'll just write it. 7 maggots out of 10.
7?
Nice.
Maggots.
Out of maggots.
Forever. The next one in the trilogy is bad.
From what year?
Inferno from, you know, 1980.
Do you know what? I didn't see what Max rated it, so I'm actually now going to instantly...
No, you can, you can just don't do that, and you can wait until I have what to say, what I have to say. Inferno, directed... It's the second one of the trilogy. It's the second mother. And it's by Dario Argento, and it's about Rose, who is a poet, and she mm-hmm. learns the apartment that she lives in was once the house of the three mothers, which is a book that was written by some guy, but also about like his diary, I think, and his dealings with the three mothers. And she is scared, and she's like, oh no, just come and help me, anyone. Or like she goes to her brother, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's
it's sort of about nothing.
to be honest,
just like watch
yeah.
this woman like run around a bit and go to different places and be scared by things.
Yeah.
Is this the one with? No. I'm forgetting. Is it like? Are there like two or three women in this movie that's like? She goes into a pool and like finds a body. And
yeah, that is this. Another, that is this one. Yeah.
And then like it goes to another woman. I think.
I only remember that happening once.
She's the main
once.
Character. Yeah. Yeah. There's like two main characters, sort of. Yeah, it's bad.
It's a little bit messy.
It's
I think.
Boring.
It's bad. And
it
boring.
Is. I actually was quite interested at first because I think that part happens like near the beginning, where like falls into like this pool and there's like loads of like floating dead bodies and shit. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I actually thought
that for what it's
cool,
worth,
yeah.
that was the best part.
It was cool. Yeah. And then after that is kind of like a blur for the most part. I don't remember a lot of else apart from. She runs a lot in this movie and sees taxis a lot in this movie. A lot of running. Just a lot of running in this movie. Yeah. High heels.
I've seen this one before. I think I was like 14, 15 when I saw it. I saw it before any of his other movies and I remember not really gelling with it that much. I remember finding it quite boring.
Just not a lot, innit?
So I was looking forward to rewatching it because since then I've watched quite a few Dario Argento movies and I do really like him. But yeah, it was not very good. I don't think it's even that terrible. I just think it doesn't really have a lot to say. I think it is kind of just like they took that 10 minutes of Suspiria that I didn't really like and made it like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, it's just...
There's just nothing really interesting going on.
No, there wasn't really much engagement going on, like, past the... What I found was that I found there was a lot of, like, cool... visual things happening, but the actual story was so boring that I didn't care unless something was happening on screen that was cool.
Every once in a while there's like a horror set piece that like could have been really cool in a different movie, but because it's in this it's just kind of dampened quite
it's a
lot
bit disappointing,
you don't really care what's going on.
There's a lot of women being murdered in this,
yeah,
and I'm like just sitting there like
there's
am
a
I supposed
theme
to watch
there,
this
there,
weird
yeah.
guy directing all these women being brutally murdered. Brutally fucking murdered.
That's what he does, to be fair.
But that's fucking weird, man. What a weird bastard.
Yeah, I wonder what his wife has to say about that. Like, Dario, what are you doing over there? Directing another woman getting murdered.
He came out of the like Italian like giallo scene, which I think like this trilogy kind of is like part of that genre. But it's like kind of like murder mysteries that are like brutally violent and like
only
overly
women,
sexual. That was like a huge thing. It is literally only to women, pretty much.
That is pretty lame, to be honest.
So I think it's less him and more like just the sort of thing, like the sort of genre he's a part of and that he came out.
I guess so, but you can turn it on his head a little bit. Why'd there have to be so many women?
Well, he's like turned it on his head by adding this supernatural sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the best,
like,
theme of it, I suppose, is like all this occult shit.
But all that shit with like, killing a bunch of women, it's what stopped this movie being just dull and boring and makes it like actively annoying.
Oh, what? Because it's like, oh, here's another one, brilliant, another brutal
you
murder
thought
for
this
the
woman
women
would be okay. No,
there are some there are some really weird bits. I was just watching it thinking like there's no
this like bat through this woman's face.
Yeah, like unnecessary, I think is the word.
Entirely, and she's still going to be alive, and then we're going to stab her. Like, dude, you didn't.
Wait, was that in this film?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I thought that was in the other movie.
Horrendously decapitated. with like a window.
Oh yeah, no, that was
for no fucking reason, just to watch him.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other
woman
film.
Die.
So that actually doesn't bode very well, does it? Because now I'm getting all these movies mixed up, and I'm like, that's when you know too many women murders.
You like when like there's that one woman walking through the corridor, and she like looks at her foot, and she like finds some blood on her foot, or like on the carpet. She like looks at the blood, and she's like, blood. It reminded me of fucking Garth Marenghi.
There's a bit at the beginning where they just steal like a jump scare from Jaws. Like where she's like swimming in the water trying to find something and a dead body jumps out. It's like exactly
that was cool.
What happens
that was
in Jaws.
Actually cool. I like that. I like those bits where all these like weird and creepy like visual things were going on. And
I
was like,
liked how they looked more than
anything. I think it was the most interesting part of the whole movie, to be honest. And even then...
I was also thinking, like, was it, practically, it's dumb as hell. Because it's like, okay, you light in this pool sort of place, but, like, you're trying to reach, like, a key. But why wouldn't you just concentrate on getting the key? But she, like, doesn't really care all that much about it. So she's, like, sort of half in this pool, like, knocking the key about. She's like, oh, no, it's now it's, like, right at the bottom where before it was on, like, a chandelier. And I can... And now I have to go all the way in there. And you know it's just so that she could, like, get out of there and then run away while her clothes were dripping wet.
Show off a little bit of skin.
Yeah, I ain't complaining. I'm complaining about everything else.
I like the music in this one again. I think it was done by Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
I'll be honest, all the music sounds exactly the same in all three of
these
movies.
It's
kind of
like the same sort of stuff again, like very proggy sort of. Stuff.
I didn't mind the music as such because I was like, cool. But for some reason, I found myself almost in hysterics every single time they'd be like, doing all that whispering and shit. That was so funny because it happens in both of these movies and it was so funny. I don't know why I found it so funny because it was annoying. I think that's why because it kept happening. I was like, oh. Brilliant. Here we go again with the fucking whispering. I love it. I was just laying in bed waiting for it to end.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to
end. I'm not going to lie, man. These
movies really drags this one.
These movies aren't very long, but they feel so much longer.
Yeah, I took a break in this one and it like it's just still felt really long.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's really not even that long. It's, like, it's just over an hour and a half. How?
Yeah. I think I took a break like 20 minutes in and it literally felt like I watched like
two hour
and a half movies.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's
although like I did like the part where they threw all the cats onto her. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh no, that was no, I didn't
you can tell like,
it was
just like people off screen throwing cats onto her.
And there's the guy that froze all the
cats
in
the
lake.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah.
No, you didn't need to do that. Why would you even do that? What's the point?
The cats and witches.
Yeah, but they got their revenge, therefore.
That they did.
I'm happy. Yeah.
The rats got the revenge. When he got like, started being eaten by rats and he like,
yeah, that was sick.
Got tripped up and his crutches fell in the water and he goes, rats are eating me!
And everyone's just like, cool.
Pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah, I thought it was quite... I actually quite like that.
I really like the like super goofy shot at the end where the witch turns into a skeleton. Thought it was pretty sick.
Is that this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The last one? No.
No, the last one had something kind of similar, but not the same.
No, I didn't like that. I was at a point at that point where I was like, you couldn't do anything to make
to
this,
redeem this.
To make this good. Nothing you could do could make this even slightly enjoyable for me. At this point, like, they've completely fucked it. So when she turns into that skeleton, I was like, okay. She just runs away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, nothing happens with it. No. It's like 2 seconds where I was like,
was
oh, that's
point?
Sick.
Yeah, what
and
was
I was
the
like,
point?
Okay, back to how it was before.
She was like, we are death. Ah! And she was like, oh, shit. So she runs away. I was like, okay, how great is this foe? She can just run away. And it's like, she's fine. She was fine. She just got. She could sprint away, and that's how it fucking ends. Oh, it's bad. No, it was bad.
Yeah, I think upon reflection, I definitely rated it way too high because I was just. I think it was because it was the first movie that I watched as well. I felt like there was a baseline and everything is just.
I know she didn't. It was, not it was the guy who ran out. I forgot. Of course, because she's a woman, she had to die.
Yeah.
How does she die again?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
How she die? Probably get
one of the other ways.
Beaten to death or something.
Yeah. Gruesomely. Probably. Yeah. Is the answer to that one.
Probably getting stabbed over and over or something ridiculous.
It ends like how Suspiria ends.
Yeah, they kind of. Fair, yeah.
They all do. They all end with that.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, they do, yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I don't remember that last one. But
yeah, pretty much.
Did you like how often the word mater was in this movie? They're like scratched on the word mater onto like tables and books and that. I was just thinking
I'm
about
to miss that entirely.
Cars. I was just thinking about fucking mater from Cars.
Big up mater.
Probably made you think I could just watch Cars instead. Like
Dario Argento predicted Cars.
He's a massive Cars fan.
He's the ultimate villain of the trilogy.
Yeah,
comes out at the end. Yeah, I do. It adds some interesting ideas. Ultimately, I don't think it's like a complete slog, but it does fumble a lot on the delivery.
I do completely understand how someone could really enjoy this. I just don't think it's really for me.
Sort of. I just think it's a bad movie.
I just thought it was too slow. It just didn't, just wasn't there for me.
I don't think anything it's saying I find particularly interesting.
I mean, I like the premise of it. When I read it, I actually thought this was going to be the one that I enjoyed the most when I was reading about it. I was like, it's quite interesting.
Is it this one where like there's that guy with a kid who gets abducted?
No, that's the last one.
Same. Feels like the same movie for me. Anyway.
That's what I mean. These two movies don't merge a little
sort
bit.
Sort of interchangeable in that way. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that, though, because I tend to have these moments almost every single time we do the podcast where I go, is that the one with the... No, it's not. Yeah. Okay.
Ratings?
Let's rate it.
Yeah,
out of
cool.
Maters.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, still not a big fan of this one after rewatching it, which is a bit of a shame. I definitely think Dario Argento has so many better movies like Suspiria or Bird with the Crystal Plumage or Deep Red, all great movies. But yeah, not really into this one. Give it 5 maters out of 10.
Yeah, it sucks. It's really boring. 3 maters out of 10.
Oof. I originally gave it a 6, but I think upon the lack of actual...
Recollection.
And to be honest, if I'm not feeling love for it or hate for it, it's got to be bang in the middle. So I'm also going to give it 5 meters out of 10. No, oh, I don't want to talk about this movie because I don't even know what this movie's about. My God, that's the longest. Do what you guys are right. Remember when you said the films on Letterboxd with the longest blurbs tend to be the ones that are the worst.
This one's quite long. The ones that are about nothing.
Yeah, it's just it just ends up describing
the
whole...
The plot summary is, the less actually happens in the movie.
Because this is like it's the whole movie, isn't it? Okay, I'm gonna have to try my hardest to try and conjure up what the hell this movie actually is.
Yeah.
So now we get on to the crux of it. The last mother, right? The third mother, even. From 2007. Mother of Tears. What is it about? You
about
tell
her.
Me.
Yeah, it's about her.
So there's not even a woman's name on here. I don't even know her name. Sarah, that's it. An ancient urn is found outside of Rome, and then once it's opened, it's kind of like Pandora's box. It just kind of like all these crimes start happening and shit. This woman called Sarah finds out that she's got some powers inherited from her mum or some shit, and she's got to stop all this stuff going on so the three mothers and that don't kill off Rome and everybody in it. It is a great movie.
Oh, I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Well, not good, but I remember it.
Yeah.
So
what the fuck happened?
I don't know right, so Chris watched this movie the night before I watched it in the morning, right? And Chris went, I am so sorry you have to watch this. And I thought, no, it can't be that bad, surely. But if Chris says it's like the worst thing ever, then I'm scared, right? Because it can either go one or two ways. It's either not as bad as he says it is, or it's just as bad as he says it is. And in fact, it was worse than what he said it was.
It's pretty awful.
Do you know what the worst part about it is? I think, right, you guys know that I always complain about the length of a movie, no matter how long it is, right?
Yes.
Right. But listen, right? When I tell you this was the worst time I've ever had watching a movie that wasn't even that long, I can't even begin to tell you. I was like looking at the little fucking, what do you call it? The spanner thing. The time lapse thing. The little.
The time.
Yeah, I was basically looking at the duration clock. There we go. I was looking at the thing the whole time.
Yes. Right?
Every 5 minutes, I was like, oh man, it's got to have been at least 20 minutes. Like, we've got to be at least somewhat into this, right? The first time I checked it, I thought we were at least like 45 minutes in. We were 23 minutes into this movie. And I thought, I'm going to kill myself. I can't bother.
Yeah, the exact same thing happened to me about half an hour in. So I watched the rest of the movie at 1.5 times speed.
Yeah, I wish you could do that, but
Chris, I couldn't do that on my
laptop. I really wanted to do that, but Chris torrented this movie for me.
Same, so I can do that. Yeah,
you can't do that if you...
Yeah. It depends on what you watch it on.
No, even like if I put it on my PS4, because I was watching it on a USB, I couldn't...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, there's only four formats it works on.
I watched it like on my laptop, so I could do it on the like media player.
Oh my God, I was watching it on a media player.
This is one where I definitely don't feel bad about torrenting it, because you just can't watch this movie. Same with Inferno. They're like impossible to get hold of.
Do you know why?
Like every copy's out of print.
They should be eradicated from the world, especially this one. This one needs to be eradicated from the world. Everything about this movie is shit.
But sure, but to say that it shouldn't exist, I don't know.
I do. I fall into the category
like
heavily.
It's not offensive or anything. It's just a bad movie. It was a bad, boring movie.
Well, let's just say I wish I had never wasted an hour and 40-ish minutes of my life watching
it. It does not feel like it's directed by the same director as the other two.
No.
Like, the other two, even Inferno, that I think isn't an amazing movie, I actually feel like there was some passion put into it. And it feel like he's actually trying to do something, like, creative visually, at least. This doesn't feel like any passion was put into it.
It
doesn't feel like he gave a shit.
Creative when he showed his daughter naked in the shower.
I mean, that was interesting.
I thought there was some cool visual stuff going on, if I'm totally honest.
Apparently, that's like a common thing that he's done. Like, she's in loads of his movies and she's like naked in nearly all of them.
That's kind of weird.
Wow.
Why did I say kind of? That's like incredibly
weird.
Yeah,
he's fucking creepy.
But like, I don't know. I liked some of the like creative stuff they were going on in this movie. But
I didn't like anything in this movie.
No, but I think maybe what it is that...
Well, like what?
The ghost mother.
The ghost mother! No, she was terrible. No, I'm talking about like...
No.
No, then... No, actually, right. No, right. Hear me out. I liked the creative visual stuff, but they were really, really bad. Like at the end, when that witch...
Do you mean liked it ironically or... You liked
what
they were going for?
I like what they were trying to do, but the execution was shitting terrible. Like, yeah, when that fucking cool witch lady gets like splurged in half by this giant thing and it looks so awful, but I was like, that is cool. But it just looked like shit. The whole film just looked like shit.
I didn't like anything in it.
No,
I didn't like any ideas.
I like that. I like those.
Because say what you will about the ghost mother.
It was funny.
She was funny.
It was funny, but it was also still not as bad as that thing in the Thor Love and Thunder with the ghost child.
Oh my
God. It did remind me of that.
Yeah.
True. No one's sharing screen.
But it was even still not as bad as that.
I agree, because no one was sharing memes of the ghost mother from Mother of Tears compared to look at this kid from Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Everyone is bad in this as well.
Yeah, their acting is
which makes
abysmal.
It really hard to watch
because
they just don't believe what they're doing.
No.
It just
like feels so like loosely put together.
It doesn't feel like one movie.
It doesn't really feel like there was a script. It's like he was just like, okay, people stand there, just do something, I guess.
Also, did no one else find it really... Chris warned me about this when he watched it, but did no one else find it extremely hilarious? when all the crimes and shit were kicking off, and this fucking woman boots this baby off the bridge, and really it's clearly
so
like
good.
A newborn
oh,
doll.
So good.
I was howling.
It's like a doll. It like clips off the bridge. Yeah. It smacks into the water. That was so good.
See, this is what I mean. There's parts of this film that I love, but I think it's because it's so badly done. Like, it reminded me of, I was saying to Chris, that bit reminded me of in Anchorman when Jack Black kicks the dog over the bridge.
Yeah, because it's like ragdoll physics, the way it falls down. It's really funny.
You like how all those people are like after them? But like they get out of this like museum type place, and then there were like a bunch of people who were like after... like the two main women, and then like, but they get away from them like really easily, even though there's like a mob of people, and then supposedly you think if they have a hold of them, they want to like keep them or do something with them.
Apparently not.
But they just like shrug them off, and manage to like get into a car. They struggle with the locks, but she still gets into the car, and like not a hair on her head has been harmed either of them. And they're like, wow, that was a close one.
Yeah. I don't know. You can't even chalk that up to anything, really. It's not. Mm. It's not really explainable.
Just really poorly conceived. Yeah, I just don't think they had a plan.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think they planned anything. That the script is dog shit.
Yeah, I feel
if they
like
had a script at all.
Yeah, I feel like they had an idea and just went.
Like so
all right,
much of it is like improvised. Dario's there, just like I don't know, just do that. I guess
I wouldn't be surprised if it was, to be honest, because like. As Max said before, when that guy had his son taken and he was like, don't you understand? It's the occult or whatever the fuck he was saying.
Oh, he was so unfazed by his son vanishing.
Yeah.
He just sort of like sits in...
in his room,
She goes into the son's room and he's sat there. His dad sat there. There's blood everywhere. And he's just like, oh, fucking hell. What a mess, eh? What a fucking mess. And she's like... wow, so is he gone?
She seems to care more about it than he does, because she's all like, I know you love him, I do too. And then he's like doing the whole like, I don't know, Hollyoaks-esque shit, like, but he's my son, not yours, and then
that
storms off.
That was so fucking good. That was so good. That was so fucking funny, that line.
I like the bit where she's like reading in the library as well, like immediately afterwards, he calls her up and she's like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to help you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy just told you to fuck off, basically.
She just finds him standing in the middle of the street against a wall or something. She's like, what are you doing out here? He's like, I was looking for my son. Like in that exact tone.
I like that bit where he's on the phone as well. Like the same bit where he's talking to her in the library and he's like, help me. And this girl's just like staring at him. And,
and he never gets his son back.
No, because he says in a scene that his son's dead, basically.
Yeah,
he's
thinks
like,
he's dead.
Yeah.
But they never show it.
Yeah.
They never show anything. Like they're just like, well, I don't really want to focus on that anymore. So we'll do the rest of this stuff.
Oh, that was golden. It was like seemed like such a throwaway like plot as well. Like, oh, this son gets kidnapped. They think he's dead. They say he's dead. So he's got to be dead, doesn't he? Like, yeah.
Why couldn't they have just been like friends? Why do they have to like, and they like, we're in bed together and stuff. Like, it was like, but what's the point?
Because
it doesn't lead anywhere. And if you're doing something like that, you want to feel like they care about each other, like even slightly, but they just don't.
Yeah, they seem
like
they kind of
no
hate each other a little bit,
whatsoever.
You know? Yeah, I wasn't feeling like anything towards that. It kind of felt like they didn't even really know each other. Like, at least, I don't know, at least if you had like a colleague or something, at least you're like an acquaintance with them. These just felt like two people who met in the street and went, oh, we've got a son together or something, right? Yeah, I guess.
I don't have a son together. It's his son. That's why he says, he is my son, not yours.
That was so funny. I actually think that was one of the bits I remembered the most, because that made me go, oh, what a bitch.
I love the scene where she's like reading up on like the mythology of it all, or like the three mothers, and just like a bunch of like, she's trying to draw connections between like, why are there three of everything? What's that? And it just reminded me so much of Paranormal Activity.
Oh my god, I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, seeing a lot of threes lately.
Seen a lot of threes, but been seeing a lot of threes recently. Yeah, it's like, it was that to a T, but not as funny.
Yeah, that. The thing is, hearing that line and then remembering that movie actually made me chuckle. And then I remembered I was watching this movie and then I was upset again.
Why are there always three?
That was funny. I like that.
Like fucking Snake's delivery or something.
It's, I don't know. It was a bit
Snake's
like
line delivery.
You know when she's reading up the, in oh my god, she's reading the she's found the diary of that guy who's worked with them and then built all these houses or whatever. And then the guy goes, "Are you sure you want to do this?" She goes, "Do I really have a choice?" And the way she says it is like
hardcore.
Man, she was definitely not born to be an actress, but that was. It was golden because it felt, that actually felt really authentic, right? Because she felt, I felt like she was saying that about this movie entirely. Like, oh yeah, this movie is kind of, God, this movie.
I just sort of.
I felt it. Like,
it feels like he was like looking for a reason to make another movie where he just inflicted a bunch of violence upon women.
And get his daughter naked for some reason.
Yeah. You know, he's pretty hot. My daughter.
I think his career was kind of struggling at this point because he was making a lot of movies that people hated and he just wasn't really making a lot of money, I don't think. So I feel like he just made this because he was like, oh, people love those other two movies. Might as well try and cash in.
No, he said, people hate me. Let's double down.
And I think it's like universally like pretty much hated.
It's
like,
not good.
I think even people who like the other two, for the most part, think that this is a really weak one.
Saying that, I saw a lot of reviews.
There are a lot of people that do really like it. It does have like this small cult following.
I mean,
which I don't understand.
No.
No, I mean, fair play to them though, because I feel like someone's got to like it, right? Like, even the most hated movie must have at least like one fan out there.
Well, yeah, obviously. You
know? But like, I want to know your reasons, but not you. I mean, like, well, I want to get one of them on the pod and ask them what the hell they like about this movie. Because I don't get
No. Just write in.
Yeah.
We don't want you on the pod.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Just put in a comment.
It would be horrendous. Yeah.
Send it to our PO box.
I don't want to talk to anyone who likes this movie. Can you imagine what type of person they are?
Yeah. Just type a message.
Yeah.
Talk to me directly. Find me
Send
directly.
Send it by carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
It will find us.
I found that quite bizarre. Like, of course, yeah, that's like to your own taste, but I just want to understand what you saw that I didn't see, because I felt like I saw everything and I didn't care about anything.
I think on the technical level, it's really, really incompetent as well. I think visually, it looks absolutely awful.
Yeah.
The sound mixing is atrocious.
It felt like a student like, made this.
Like, yeah, it does. It, like, at points, there's like characters talking where the like recording is so bad. It reminded me of Paranormal Ascendancy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was just so much bleed from everything. Like, you could barely hear the people talking. It's like he didn't know where to put the boom mics. So we just put it in the other room.
So I watched this movie first out of the three of them, right?
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, technically, if we're talking in a timeline, I saw Suspiria way before. But
I thought you watched Inferno first.
Oh shit, yeah, no, I did watch Inferno first.
Ugh.
Well, anyway.
Darcy's lying again.
I'm forgetting my
Mr.
life.
Electric, kill him!
I think what actually shocked me the most was that this film looked the oldest out of all three of them. There's something about the, I don't know. I don't know whether it's because it looked like it was shot on a potato or I don't know, man. It just didn't look very good.
I think it's shot digitally.
It looks really bad.
It looks really shit.
There we go.
I don't know why.
It looks ugly.
Because this is 2007. There's no excuse for your film to look this bad with your budget, my dude. I don't know what's going on.
There's no like colour in the movie either.
Yeah, it's quite bland.
Just shit DP, isn't it?
Yeah. Just looks terrible. It looks like a like straight to DVD movie. Yeah.
Do you know what
you've seen like,
was it ever in the cinema?
Yeah. It got a theatrical release.
Yeah.
But it like it reminds me of a lot of like really bad, like straight to DVD like horror movies
I've
watched.
The box office
like,
for this now.
The Leprechaun sequels or like Wishmaster or something like from that sort of era, it's just low budget. That there was no effort put into it. It was literally just made because few people might buy it on DVD.
Mother of Tears, a supernatural movie. Right, let's see.
Apparently, it was supposed to premiere at Cannes.
Oh my God, imagine.
Like as like a off competition film, but it wasn't finished in time, so they just showed 40 minutes of random scenes.
Well, the thing is,
it was like really poorly received by everyone.
Of course it was.
I was going to say, someone must have watched this because it made back almost all of its budget.
Well, yeah, it probably cost £2 to make.
Well, it was £3.5 million apparently, which actually isn't that much, really, is it? In terms of
is done. You can't see that money on the screen.
No, you definitely can't.
Don't know where that went.
No. But yeah, it made back 3.1. So I was like, well, obviously people did watch
this. Maybe
this
is like a money laundering scheme.
Yeah, it might be.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe.
I was thinking, though, while I was watching it, I really don't watch a lot of shit movies. I've really not been watching shit movies.
Yeah.
To be fair, felt quite humbling. And I felt quite... I enjoyed the experience of watching something that was this bad. Because I haven't had an experience like that for a very long time.
Mm.
It's like, you sort of need like a leveler every so often to be like, oh, it can get this bad. So you can watch a movie. It like sort of refreshes your palate a bit.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, like, I watched the Mario movie, which I'll talk about at some point. And that was pretty bad, but I didn't think it was like incompetently made or anything like I did with this.
No, you need to watch like the complete directs of it, and this is sort of that.
Yeah.
They make like reference to, they really cinematic universe it in this one, where they actually mention, just cold mention, Susie Banyan from Suspiria. And like, why the fuck did you do that? What was the point? Like, it's sort of implied that these are all connected, but you don't have to say like, oh yeah, there was a girl who destroyed all the witches back in the day and she was in the Suspiria movie.
Can I tell you something about that, actually?
No?
No, you guys are going to be amazed at how he's managed to do this, right?
Oh, go on then.
But both those films, right, were 3 million to make, right? Suspiria was only 1.8 million and looked so much better somehow.
Yeah, you also got to remember, like, adjusting for inflation, it was probably the same sort of amount.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, yeah, this is the 70s, isn't it?
But it's, you know, it's a case of allocating funds correctly.
Yeah,
knowing where to spend.
You can make a masterpiece with no money at all, but you can also make one of the worst movies ever made with all the money in the world.
Well, we've seen that time and time again on this bloody pod, haven't we? So,
a lot of examples.
It's quite cool.
I don't think money matters, really. It's all about talent and knowing what you're doing. And
what happened to that remake? Jesus.
Yeah, care.
Yeah.
What? Oh, no, I said, what the bloody hell happened with that remake? Because I'm looking at the figures on that.
What remake? Of
the Suspiria.
No.
I was going to say.
The Mother of Tears remake that, thank God, never happened.
Poor marketing. It's an art movie.
Mate,
people
didn't even
didn't
make
see
back
it.
Half.
Yeah, it got shat on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Not even close
Couldn't
to
even
half, in fact. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
They showed
that's actually
it
quite sad. I know I haven't seen it, but that's pretty lame.
I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but they did show it over you.
Okay.
Did they?
That's a shame.
What, like, what, a re-release or a, not when it came out? Sorry.
I guess we'll get into it now. Yeah, they showed it there. I went to see it.
Wow.
There was a power cut at the cinema.
Oh.
So I didn't see it. It literally, like, the power cut out as the film was starting.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to say as it was ending. Yeah.
No.
Wait a minute.
As it was starting.
Well, I probably
Kai?
Prefer that to it being halfway.
That was when I lived at Edmund Rose.
I think I remember this. I think I met you. We were at Gunwharf. Did you come?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I was at work and I remember that. The good power cut. I remember that. That was terrifying. I hated that power cut. It was gross. It was a really big one.
And that was like the only time they were showing it when I could actually go as well.
Yeah.
So didn't get to see it till it went on Prime.
Oh my God.
Either way, that is actually, I don't know, that's actually quite fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Just reading up on it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, I thought the ending was really unearned. Just like how they were like, oh, fuck.
I thought the very ending
escape,
was funny.
Like, it was just like nothing. And she was like, I got her tunic off of her. She like gets like this pole and like takes the tunic off of the witch's body with like her magic tunic that channels her power.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, my tunic. And then throws it into the fire and she's like, no. And then like an earthquake happens and a massive spike comes through the wall and goes straight through the witch. It was like, okay, but I guess that happened. And then like they're like running through miles of shit, literal shit, to get out. And they get out and they just like, they really want it to be really triumphant, so they just like start laughing. We did it.
Yeah,
but it's so unearned. It's just like nothing happened.
I just thought that last bit was quite weird. I don't know. But then again, the whole film was pretty fucking weird.
So I mean, even Suspiria didn't feel triumphant at the ending because it ended so abruptly.
Yeah, but why did they have to do that? They just could have just not done that. She could have just got impaled by this giant log or whatever, and they could have just done that bang, bang, bang music, and that would have been it. That would have been perfect. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been the piece de resistance to this one. Would have been amazing. Yeah, bad. Bad stuff. Let's rate it.
What are we going to rate it out of?
Let's rate it out of...
Ghost Mothers.
Ghost Mothers.
Ghost Mothers.
Yeah, I kind of hated this movie.
Sorry.
I used to watch a lot of like really shit horror movies when I was like making a lot of horror related content on YouTube, and it was like definitely a throwback to some of the really bad like straight to DVD sequels that I used to watch. So I think because of that, it was just like kind of like trauma. It's like bringing back traumatic events. So I think I hated it even more because of that. Yeah, I give it like one Ghost Mother out of 10. It was pretty fucking awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. I also like the line, your weakness is your strength, father. It's like, what do you mean?
What kind of Lion King-esque shit is that all about?
Means the opposite of what you think it means. Bad stuff, man. Really, just the dregs of horror. love it. 2 Ghost Mothers out of 10.
And that is all. 1 Ghost Mother out of 10.
Sick.
Don't know if I even gave it. I think I gave it 2, actually. But for continuity, I'm now going to just say 1.
Yeah. So we were going to cap this off with a little discussion about the remake of Suspiria. Yeah.
And it will be little because I haven't seen it in like 3 years and Darcy hasn't seen it.
Yeah, I was the only one who watched it for the podcast. Oh shit, last night. It's a very long movie, 2.5 hours, as we said.
That's why I didn't rewatch it. It was just so long, I just didn't get a chance.
I wouldn't have had the chance to watch it today.
I say that I watched Once Upon a Time in America on like Saturday and it was like 4 hours, so I could have watched this instead. But
right.
Yeah, your priorities are out of whack, son.
No, I think you just live and you don't learn.
That is the
truth.
You've
done shit like this over and over again.
Good movie though.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was this long until like I checked the time while I was watching it, and I double billed this with Mother of Tears, so I was like, oh shit, this is really long, but I did have enough time eventually, so that's good. This one came out in 2018, is directed by Luca Guadagnino, a great fucking director.
Yeah, Bones and All, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, I love all the Blu-ray of this. I've got the Blu-ray. It says from the director of Call Me By Your Name.
Like, how could you say no, right?
Oh, I like that one. Let's watch this one.
Even though it's like probably not in the same sort of vein.
Yeah, as we said, chat onto Amazon Prime.
Bit of a shame.
Yeah, definitely a weird one. It's based on like the screenplay from the original by Dario Argento and the other guy. And it sort of takes that and expands it a lot. It adds a lot more elements to it. Where Suspiria is very colourful and vibrant, this remake is very much the opposite.
Yeah, but very like browny grey.
Very desaturated.
Very drab.
Set in... I think that first one was set in just Germany. This one's set in Berlin. They make a point of saying it was set in divided Berlin. So there's like a civil war going on in the background.
Yeah.
Sort of lends itself to how the characters feel and how they act in the movie, and it is still set at a dance academy. You got Susie Banyan, played by Dakota Johnson, going into the academy, and sort of things aren't right, and the witches are there, and they're like, damn, son, she's pretty good, we gotta get her. And it's just about seeing how they indoctrinate her over the course of 2.5 hours to become their sort of puppet they're doing something with like the big mother character. It's like, yeah, you gotta take her and she'll get into your body or whatever, and everything's gonna be all right for us witches from now on. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's fucking fantastic, actually. It's one of my favorite movies ever. It goes by like really quickly for me, even though it is 2.5 hours long. I just think he uses the time so well. And where that original was an hour and 44, you almost could think, well, what's the point in bloating it out with like this needless addition of like, there's like a therapist doctor character who comes in. You see a lot of this guy and this civil war that's going on in the background and stuff that sort of relates to the civil war and how the characters from the Dance Academy are embroiled in this and how that feeds into the plot. It's still, it feels necessary to this movie.
Yeah.
Definitely feels like they gave it some thought. I'm like, how can we differentiate this one from the original one? It's a very different movie in that way. I think he's trying to go for something that's a bit more heady, I guess.
Mm.
It's just like you really should think about it a bit. And I'm just there like, this is about what it's like to be in Germany.
That's what they say, right?
So, yeah. They go in a bit harder with like the dance stuff in this one as well, where I really wanted some like really crazy dance stuff going on in that original Suspiria movie.
Yeah.
And they do a bit of it, but in this one it's like, let's just go in. But like, it's so fucking creative and like really weird, janky movements and stuff they're doing with their bodies and how I love, like, I'm sure you remember the fucking, the scene where like they basically make Susie a puppet to torture and kill another girl at the academy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like really fucking disturbing, so it's like hard to forget that scene.
One of the most horrifying scenes I've ever seen in any movie. It's so good. It's so great. What I wanted from like Suspiria, the original, was like it had that fear to it, but this like racks it up, and it's like it's actually like these witches are like a force to be reckoned with. You are scared of them.
Yeah,
like it is fucking terrifying what is happening in this movie, and it doesn't like shy away from showing just the brutal force of these antagonists and what they are able to do. And how they use magic, and it's not like they're using like wands or whatever. It's more like psychological manipulation, invading dreams, and how they disturb these girls and make them do what they want. It's really horrible.
I think it does exactly what a remake should do, where it takes like elements of the original and does something completely new and fresh with it. Mm. Like I think when I heard it was announced, I was like, "What's the point? Why is that being made?" But it really does serve its own purpose entirely, whereas I think a lot of horror remakes don't really. They're literally just the same movie again, but more modern.
Yeah, it feels like those like older movies set or like from like Poland or whatever, or like Russia.
Yeah, it does feel very European.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen like more German movies from, like, it's set in the 70s. It feels like it's from the 70s, but it has that 2018 sort of shine to it. It doesn't take you out of the movie all that much. It probably lends itself to the movie. You're like, yeah, I'm watching a remake, but it's its own thing and it's doing what it needs to do. So in that sense, it feels really like dour and depressing. This setting is like really, like, it must be very hard to live in. And that's something I'm definitely more used to with those like Polish or European movies.
Mm.
I'm thinking of like Tarkovsky to an extent, or like Kieślowski does a lot of movies and or like Decalogue that sort of look like this, but it's really good and really good, like world building and how they're able to adapt it.
Great acting as well, obviously. Tilda Swinton's in it. She plays multiple characters and she's just fucking insane. Didn't even realize she was more than one character when I watched it till so like afterwards.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I definitely like felt like I recognized her in the old man character in this because I knew it was her. But when the first time I watched it, I was like, that's just like an old guy. And they even credit him as like another guy, just like a random made up man. So you don't know.
Yeah.
And they like cover her in like a shit ton of prosthetics to be this guy. And like a lot of the movie is about him. And you sort of towards the beginning, you don't know why they're showing him all that much. But then it's sort of revealed why he's in it as much as he is. And like, it's sort of how he feeds into the plot a lot more. And it's weird to like introduce this like completely new character into it and have it fit into a movie that originally did not have him at all, or even these themes. So I guess he just wanted to go for something like, he wanted to like say something, and it feels like it's not about what Suspiria is about, even like at all. Well, not even slightly is it sort of about that. It's got like a weirdly, I don't know if I would say it's got like a feminist slant to it, but it sort of does.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's very fucked up in the way it delivers it. But it's definitely more about like that sort of power angle and the dynamics of power in certain situations or societies, and how it centers around mostly women. And towards the end, it gets like so horrendous with it. We're like, okay, why are they doing this? But I think I've not really seen Dakota Johnson in much, I don't think. I know she was in 50 Shades, but this is like such a weirdly out there performance, and she's clearly trained a lot for it because of all like the dancing she does, which is fucking sick.
Yeah, it's all great.
It's all great choreography. And it did remind me of like the OA and like all the movements they do in that show. Because a lot of the time they're not really doing it to music. It's just like we're hearing like the breathing and fucking the primal sort of essence of dancing that I think is like intrinsic within just people. And it's sort of about that more animalistic side to us and to women as well.
Yeah, definitely. Incredible score as well.
Oh god, yeah.
That's like the one thing I think of when I think about this movie. It's like, it's done by Tom York. I think it's like one of my favorite scores, to be honest. I've listened to it so many times. Mm-hmm. He's got like a few like just proper songs like with him singing for it as well, which are all really beautiful. But it's just like does such a great job of building atmosphere and adding to the tension. It's like crazy that it's like the only film score or anything like that he's done, because it's just so good.
He should do more of this stuff.
Definitely.
It makes it feel very special, I think. I love the use of like just a full-on song, like right at the end, sort of ritual scene.
Yeah.
It was like just the most horrendous shit is happening. People are exploding. It's all bathed in red. And just this like sort of calm Tom York score song is playing over, and you're like, what the fuck? And he's just singing.
Yeah.
Like, you watch this one, like, the real mother come about and explode all these people's heads who didn't support her. And it's just got Tom York singing over it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think, like, the opening credits, like, has the song Suspirium, which just sounds like a Radiohead song, because it's, like, just all him and pianos, loads of, like, huge strings.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does a really great job of, like, just setting the mood at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there's like a whole sequence of just like just watching Susie's mother die, sort of, and like sort of, it doesn't really communicate anything in dialogue. It's all done through this score and sort of seeing these images, which are also communicated again in dream sequences, where like the witches are sort of making Susie dream things, and those are like some of the most interesting dream sequences in any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
just like flashes of different images, they just stick in my head. I remember very distinctly, I think about it a lot, it's just this one shot of like that woman sort of crawling up the doorframe. Oh god, it's so fucking weird. And they really get that, like, to be interesting and scary in like truly like horrific, or like elicit some sort of fear in the audience, especially nowadays where we've sort of seen everything that we can see in a horror movie, you ought to be weird.
Yeah.
You ought to show the audience something they have no idea what they're watching. And that's a lot of what this movie is as well. Where I don't think I know absolutely everything that's going on in it. I wouldn't want to, because that takes away something when you know what you're watching and you know every detail of why they're doing things. I would prefer not to know.
Yeah.
You should watch this movie, Darcy.
I probably should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to rewatch it, to be fair, because I've only seen it
once.
Well,
there you go, then.
I will get around to it. It's just long.
It is long, yeah. But it goes by really fast. Yeah. If you've got like a spare 2.5 hours, which I appreciate. Not everyone does.
No, not really.
Not right now.
Except for Saturday, when I had a spare 4 hours, apparently.
Yeah, go on then. There we go.
I'll go back in time and watch it again.
You're insane.
Yeah, as we're getting on and sort of would like to not spoil it as much as I possibly could. I think, yeah, it's probably, I mean, it is like, when I look at it, I'm like, this is like probably my, one of my favorite uses of like cinematography in any movie. Mm. It's one of the best looking, and it's very strange to think that it's so, it's quite, it's got quite a desaturated color palette, but they use it, it's very clean to look at. As much as it is like, you're showing these horrific images, and it feels quite grimy and dirty, they use it very well, I think. Mia Goth's in the movie as well. As
we, that she is.
We're doing it again with Mia Goth.
Doing weird shit again.
Doing weird stuff. Mm. Just quite, the performance is quite held back though.
Yeah.
She's not like a character that does fucking weird stuff in this. Weird, like, weird shit does happen to her.
Mm.
I think of like the floor opening beneath her and like trapping her leg. That's like horrific.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was fucked up.
So horrible. So horrible to watch it all. You gotta love like all the sets as well. The sets in the original are really bloody well done. And it's the same in this, is also really good. And like all the set designs and set pieces are really good. I love that end dance sequence that they're doing with like the red rope tied around them.
Yeah.
Just weird, weird dance sequences. I thought to myself, like, there's a lot of people at this performance. Like, who this many people go to stuff like this? It's really weird. I guess so. Yeah. In like a Civil War era Germany, would you go to a dance performance this strange and have this many people there? I guess so.
Yeah, guess so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like it a lot. It's really great. It's really great stuff. And also, I do like the inclusion of Joseph, who's played by Tilda Swinton, this therapist character, who I didn't think initially would be of much consequence. He actually ends up being sort of like the main character in a way. And he's like, yeah, lost his wife. There's such a great scene where he like finds his wife again, who he thinks has been murdered in this war. But it's like not even real. She like leads him. It's just like a ploy from the witches where they make him hallucinate that he's found his wife again, and they just lead him to the dance academy. It's like, oh man, that's so cruel. Oh, so good. And then at the end of like that ritual piece, they just like kick him out like a club, like he's been kicked out of a club night. I'm like, go on, man. There's like a really like, and you feel like that could have ended it, but there's like an epilogue as well. It's six acts and an epilogue. I think that was a good way to structure the movie as well.
Yeah.
Because it is quite long, and that sort of offsets the time as well, where you feel like there's momentum to it and you know there's a purpose to the pace of it. There was a great scene where, like, after all that, Susie goes and visits him in bed. She basically, like, induces a seizure in him and, like, takes away his memories. And she says to him, We need guilt and shame, but not yours, Doctor. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. That was insane. Such a great script as well. Like, they really thought about everything in this. Just every minute detail. Even, like, shot. They use the camera really bloody well as well. It's just, like, swooping stuff that just goes around. There's a shot that, like, sticks directly in my mind. Every time, I'm like, oh, man. It just comes to me every so often where it's, like, Tilda Swinton enters the room when Susie's doing her audition. It's in this mirrored room. There's no music, but it just like farts dooms into her. I just think about that all the time. I'm like, that's such a good shot. Like, it is so simple, but it's so effective. And there's like a shot where like you see Susie in the reception area, and then it zooms up to the camera sort of floats up to a mirror. And then, like, behind the mirror is Tilda Swinton. But, like, you feel like she was reflected in the mirror, but also she was behind the mirror at the same time. You can't really tell. It's, like, stuff like that. And it makes, like, the witchery stuff really interesting and cool and just, like, nothing you've seen before in any movie. And Guido Nino's out here making some weird shit, man.
Yeah, he's one of the ones.
He's one of the ones. Like, yeah, he made, like... Call Me By Your Name. I mean, I know he made other movies before that. I would quite like to watch whatever he's done before that, to be honest. If it's anything like these, he just seems like a fucked up guy. Like, he's got a lot to say, and he just puts weird, fucked up shit in his movies. Like, between this and Bones and All. Even, like, Call Me By Your Name had some, like, just a weird, just one weird scene.
I think his next movie is, like, a Scarface remake written by the Coen brothers.
Oh, interesting. Shit, yeah, it is. Oh, man, that's going to be something.
Yeah.
It's going to be something, all right.
No, that actually sounds, like, really interesting, but I wouldn't expect a Scarface remake to be that interesting.
No, I wouldn't have cared at all if it were not for this movie.
Yeah.
Because I know he can do something completely different and interesting with it. You would hope. You would hope.
Guess we'll see.
We will see. Yeah.
Ratings?
Cool. Let's rate it. I don't know if you... Yeah, fuck it. I'll just... But yeah, are you going to rate it? Or...
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like I say, I've only seen it once, so not too fresh on it. But when I watched it last, I gave it like a 9 out of 10. So it might go up on another watch, might go down. Guess we'll see. But I do really love it, and I do want to watch it again because I think it's a really creative, interesting, fucked up movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. So good. I really wish I would have been able to see it in the cinema. But
same.
2018. Yeah, feel bad for you. 2018.
You were so close.
I don't know if I was totally hot on cinema as a thing back then. Sort of was. Was sort of getting into it. I didn't really know anything about Suspiria. This is one of the ones, man. I'm excited to see whatever Luca does in his directorial journey. Love the guy, man. This is so fucking good. Watch it. Just do it. 10 out of 10. Fucking love it.
Nice.
Cool. So that's that. All those and a little bit more on the Sunday Movie Marathon. We got another one to do in 2 weeks' time. We have decided to do our free-for-all recommendations once every 2 months now, as it is the first episode of the month. We'll be doing one free-for-all and then another in 2 months' time.
Yeah.
Where we all pick a movie and it doesn't matter what. So take it away, Chris. What's your one?
Yeah, so I'm going to pick a pretty big comfort movie for me. We've talked about the director of, I think, once, which I find a bit of a shock because we're all big fans of him. So my pick is Wes Anderson's 1998 movie Rushmore.
Wow.
Cool boy. Rush.
One of my favorites. I'm excited to watch it for like the 10 millionth time.
I think I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. Rush.
And more.
Rush less? Rush. No. Rush more. I had two options. Didn't really know what to go for, but I think I could pick one that either two of us have seen and really like, or I could pick one that none of us have seen. And I think I'd probably pick one that none of us have seen, just for a little spice. It's the 2016 documentary by Kirsten Johnston called Camera Person. Got that on DVD recently.
I've never heard of it.
Neither have I, but I like the title Camera Person. Okay, yeah. It's very inclusive. I like that. Well, I, again, forgot about the recommendation entirely.
Yeah, and you did.
Chris shuffled my watch list, and most of my watch list is pretty much films that are either out in the cinema currently or don't exist or are like meme-y and you can't find them anywhere. So, we come to a conclusion that I'm going to pick this year's Oscar nominated EO. We're going to watch a donkey movie. We're going to watch the donkey movie.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
Rushmore, Camera Person, and EO. Nice. Let's do it.
It's going to be a weird one.
It seems like a mixed bag.
Yeah. We're doing this one together?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
If we can.
Yeah, why not? The whole conceit of the podcast.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll have to
arrange a date.
Yeah.
Cool. So watch those, Rushmore, Camera Person, and EO before Next one, and you will know what we're talking about. We got social media, YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon, Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod, Twitter at Sunday Movie Pod, Facebook at Sunday Movie Marathon, and Letterboxd at Sunday MM, capital S, capital MM. Any last words?
Thanks, Dario. Please retire.
Thanks for at least one movie.
You're not retired?
No, he put out a movie last year. Apparently, it's actually all right.
Oh.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, don't retire, man. You got a lot more in you. Don't care what the haters say. Yeah,
thanks for the Killstar collaboration.
The movie you did before that, it's like a Dracula movie, which apparently is like absolutely like god awful.
Nice. We'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
And if it's a Mother of Tears level, it should be bringing us to tears. So it should be a fun time for all.
Can't wait. Yeah, thanks, Dario. You sure are one of them. One of them. One of the ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
On this next episode of a little podcast we like to call a Sunday Movie Marathon.